morning. Welcome to the show. Evan Bray on this Thursday morning. It's great to have you here as we get that much closer to the weekend. And by the way, first official weekend of summer. Summer hits us this weekend. Yeah, weather maybe going to be a little bit rainy and drizzly, so it may not be your typical summer kind of a weekend, but nonetheless, we'll take the rain, never turn it away, and hopefully sets the stage for what's going to be an incredible summer. So when you think about summer, we love to entertain. We love to have guests over to our place in the city. We'll have backyard barbecues, those types of things. We also like to get out to the lake in the summertime. Summer, for the most part, is the only part about it that drives people crazy are the pests, whether it be the wasps around the picnic. It could be the anthills. I've had a number of people. Someone actually was just showing me a picture at their cabin. So they always go out in the springtime to open up their cabin. They walked into their yard and there was 5 huge anthills. So not something that was there last year, but for some reason they're there this year. And so the question always is, how do you deal with this? And I, for one, am a person that has gone out, bought something at the store that is touted as the surefire way to get rid of whatever the pest is. Your $10 or $20 bottle ends up doing nothing. I swear it helps them thrive more than it actually gets rid of them. And you're stuck back at square one with a little bit less cash in your pocket. There are people, though, that have the expertise. And that's what we're doing today is we're bringing in Sean Sherwood. He is a Poulin's exterminator. He's a fella that has dealt with bugs, creepy crawlies, mice, pests, you name it, of all kinds, of all shapes for many years, and is here not only to talk about this and talk about what this world is like that he lives in, but to answer questions that you might have. So we are going to open up the phone and text line for you for this next hour that we've got Sean here. If you have a question that an exterminator could answer, now's the time. So 1-877-332-8255 is the number. And again, Sean Sherwood, Poulin's exterminator, joins me in studio. Sean, thanks so much for being here.
Happy to be here, Evan.
You've been doing this for a while. How long have you been in this business?
40 years.
How in the heck did you get into this business?
I was unemployed for 3 days and applied to a ad in something that most people don't know about now called a newspaper.
And that was the start of your exterminator career, was it?
Correct, yeah. And I've been with the same company for all 40 of those years.
I can imagine you've seen a lot in the way of animals, in the way of pests and bugs over the years. Do you have, I'm guessing, depending on the season, certain things that keep you busy, like noticeable trends?
Absolutely. I mean, summer is always busy. Spring is more busy than summer because we have a lot of things popping their heads up from underground or coming out of the walls and the attics where they've overwintered. Fall is always our busiest season. We are absolutely gong show busy from September to November. It's just a track meet.
I grew up on a farm, and so to me, there were some things that you accept a little differently living on a farm in rural Saskatchewan than maybe you would in the city. How do you see the pest problems differ between rural and urban?
Well, out in the rural areas, there's certainly a higher tolerance for things like ants in the lawn and for spiders in the house. In the city, there's more tolerance for those cute little gophers that run around in the backyard, whereas out in the country, there is no tolerance for that.
I mean, just listening to you talk about it in terms of tolerance, I think about how many times we were out shooting gophers in the afternoon, right? So, I get where you're going with that, Sean.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about all the time is what is your tolerance level?
I saw a release that I think it was back in May, actually, that the Ministry of Environment did, saying it was a good time to deal with bats. How prevalent are bats in the province?
The population is getting smaller, unfortunately, because of a virus that is slowly killing them off. So about 3 years ago, restrictions came in on when we can deal with them. We can only work on bats in your home or your cabin in the month of May and in the month of September, and we need a permit from the ministry to be able to do that. We don't kill them. We relocate them. We install one-way doors. We make them leave. Then they can't get back in. They have to relocate. But they are a species at risk right now.
And bats, I mean, it's something that we talked about a few times on the show with different guests, but bats are not a bad thing to have around. They eat a ton of mosquitoes and bugs, and so many people, it's becoming more and more popular to actually put a bat house in your backyard.
Yeah, and that's a really good idea, but my recommendation is don't attach it to your house. Mm-hmm. Bats come with a little parasite, which is a cousin to the bed bug called the bat bug. And when the bats, if the bats are one of the species that migrates every year, then the bat bugs go looking for food and you're a perfectly good substitute. So put it out on the shed, put it out on the garage, put it on a pole shaded by some trees. Don't put it on your house.
The bat droppings too. Someone told me they made the mistake of putting it on. They have a 2-story house. They put it up, kind of high on the second story on the exterior, but it was fairly close to a doorway into their backyard. They said mistake. Bat droppings are a thing to reckoned with.
Absolutely, they are. And the other thing about bat houses is you want to keep them in a somewhat temperature regulated area, so in a shady area. Bats will move around in their roost as the sun sweeps over the sky and over the horizon, and because there's certain temperatures that they like, so they don't stay stationary and they don't like it real hot. So if you put it on the west side or the south side of your house out in bright sunlight for 10 or 12 hours a day, you're not getting one. They won't go there.
Okay, the texts, I'm not surprised to see, are flying in. Sean Sherwood is my guest, Poulin's exterminator. And so it's really just simply, what would you like to ask an exterminator? Sean Sherwood has been doing this for 4 decades. I don't know if you mind me putting it that way, but it's impressive, 40 years of this work. I want to ask one more question before we take our quick break here, our first one. We've got Sean with us for the full hour. There's been a couple of texts that have come in already about maple bugs. And I'll tell you, at our place in the city, on a sunny fall afternoon, they are crawling on the one side of our house where it's warm. These appear to be harmless, but they are really a nuisance. Talk to us about maple bugs. How do you get rid of them?
Okay, so we call them box elder beetles. They've also got the term lightning bug attached to them. They are kind of a special treat to get rid of in a lot of ways. They spend their time in around your foundation when it's cooler. They'll go down in between the dirt and your foundation, or they'll get up under your siding. And then as it warms up during the day, they come back out and they wander all over the place. And you're right, they're completely harmless. Once it gets warm enough, they're going to head up into the trees and they're going to lay eggs up there and they're going to feed on the foliage, and they're not particularly destructive to the trees, so they really don't cause a problem there. Where they do cause a problem is when they get inside the house. Do not squish them up against the wall. They will stain. You will not paint over it. You will have to sand it down and start again. When it comes to control of them, we can apply a liquid chemical and hope that they crawl through enough of it that it'll kill them off. But they have a waxy cuticle on the bottom of their body, and so they're fairly resistant to the chemicals. Best way to take care of them, when they're all clustered up there in the middle of a nice hot day, get out there with your shop vac and just suck them up with the shop vac. It's actually quite a fun game. We get a lot of people that'll say, well, yeah, but then they'll just crawl out of my shop vac. And my response to that is, if I suck you through a 4-foot tube at 105 miles an hour, how do you think you're going to come out the other end?
Fair enough. Okay, so the shop vac is a good tool to use for that. The whole do not squish against your wall, I was about to say, I'll take advice I wish I had last year for 200, Alex, because I squished one on our ceiling last year. My wife likes to point out you can still see the mark today. So
yep,
it's a good piece of advice. Okay, we'll take our first break. We are going to get into your questions when we come back, and they are pouring in. Love it. Sean is here. He's a Poulin's exterminator. He's joining me in studio to take your questions. The pest that you would like to get rid of. Sean's got some thoughts, some answers, some tips, some techniques. Sometimes you're not going out spending hundreds of dollars. It's something that you can do yourself, and that's what I appreciate having Sean Sherwood on for. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. today, nothing but solid pest advice here on the Evan Bray Show. 1-877-332-8255. Sean Sherwood is joining us. Poulin's exterminator. He's been doing it for 40 years. Do you ever get calls where you're like, this is something new. I've never seen this before. Is it all pretty routine now?
Probably 95% of it is routine, but it's not hard to come up with something that I haven't seen before. We've got about 10,000 species of insects in Saskatchewan, and I don't know all of them.
It's a new version of the old story. Jerry from Regina with just a simple question. How do I keep rabbits off my lawn?
Oh, I have tried to fence them out, but they dig. There are no traps that they'll go into. So usually what we recommend is wrap the bottoms of your trees with something like chicken wire so that they can't chew on them and enjoy nature. We haven't got a way to keep them out.
My little dog, which drives me crazy at the best of times, Mike, he's a mini Dachshund. He loves to sit on the couch, look out the window, and bark at this pesty rabbit that sits just on the front lawn. I swear he just sits there to tantalize Mike. I think that's
likely
the whole reason. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the phone line, 1-877-332-8255. I've got Jeff calling from Saskatoon. You have a question for Sean. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, guys. What my question is regarding voles, V-O-L-E-S, voles.
Yep.
I've been doing battle with them for about 2 years now. I've only been able to catch 9. They're terribly hard to catch. Do you have any recommendations or hiring a professional? Could you guys do any better?
Actually, there are no licensed baits for use against voles, so you're not going to pick up anything that you can legally use against them or that we can legally use against them. So the trick that I've been using is to find the areas where they like to live, and they'll be underneath the low-lying shrubs and like things like junipers and things like that, and they'll dig a little hole there. Then I take a shoebox or cardboard box, I cut the bottom off of it, I cut a couple of the Walt Disney wall mouse holes in it, and I take a simple snap trap and I set it in there, and I use rolled oats, oatmeal, and mixed with a little bit of peanut butter as my bait, and I clean them up real quick. Hmm. The only downside is that it's a bit labor intensive because you got to go out and check it all the time.
Well, why do you put the shoebox over top? Is it just that enclosed space that they're looking for?
Absolutely. Meadow voles are on the bottom of the food chain with mice, and if you give them an area where they can sit undercover, they'll happily go in there and hide from the predators.
So I know with mice, you're usually setting the traps along the wall or kind of tucked out of the way. So are you suggesting the same with this, is it should be kind of beside a building, those types of things?
No, you really want to take it over to the cover that they're hiding under. So if you've got an area where you've got some planters and some junipers and some gardens like that, put it over really close to there because it gives them a shorter transit point to get to it, and you'll have a whole lot more success that way.
Makes sense. Sean Sherwood is my guest, Poulin's exterminator. So voles, we can check that one off. Sean with some good advice there. Let's go back to the phone line. Shay is calling from Saskatoon. Thanks for calling in, Shay. Your question for Sean.
I heard on the news last night that cankerworms are just huge in the Mount Royal area. And I know they'll be coming over to everybody else in Saskatoon. Is there anything we can do to prevent that happening or to get rid of them once they come?
Well, you definitely want to be banding your trees when the city tells you in the spring and fall to put the bands on and take the bands off. But the biggest thing that you can do is go out and buy a product called BTK. It's a bacterium. You mix it with water. You spray it onto all the areas of the trees that you can reach, and they consume it, and it infects their innards, and they die very quickly.
BTK is what you said, right?
That's correct.
I've got a question here on the text line. Jason calling in from or texting in from near Saskatoon. How do you keep deer out of the carrot crop? he's talking about a market garden by the looks of it. Thoughts there, Sean?
You're going to need to put a fence around it. You can use chicken wire and make sure that you get the stakes in reasonably deep so that they hold it. You're going to have to go up about 6 to 7 feet, though, because they jump pretty good.
Yeah.
Either that or a 308.
Okay, well, let's just carry on. Sean Sherwood, Poulin's Exterminator, is my guest. Phone lines, text lines open, 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to grab another call here before we get too close to the next break. I'll go to Lauren in Regina. Lauren, thanks so much for calling in. We've got Poulin's Exterminator, Sean Sherwood, here. What is your question?
Thank you for taking my call. I live on the sixth floor of an apartment building in Regina, and we have such a bad pigeon problem. We don't know how to get rid of them.
Pigeons.
Pigeons, the rock dove from Europe. So if what you need to do with pigeons is exclusion. If you have a balcony that they like to roost on, then you're going to need to mesh it off. We have a 2-inch mesh that we install using cables and sometimes screen rail. Once we get it drawn up tight, you won't know it's there. Now, you won't be able to lean out, but you can certainly look out, and it doesn't really get in the way of your vision. If they're underneath air conditioners or things like that, again, exclusion with mesh. If they're sitting on a ledge, usually ledges can be covered with bird spike, properly spaced out, then they can't perch there, and they'll go find another home.
Does a flashy or a shiny, like I've seen people, whether they're worried about pigeons, but they'll put tinsel or something like it. Does that help at all?
Some yes, some no. There are some birds that don't like the flash and the sudden startling. Others get used to it really quickly. The same as they do with plastic owls. Pigeons figure out after a couple days that thing hasn't moved, it's not a threat, and then they'll sit on it.
We got another text actually about pigeons. Amber in Saskatoon. I live in the city. They're pooping all over. And then she has the puke emoji beside it. So she'll be appreciating your helpful advice there. Let's just grab another text from the text line. We talked about maple bugs. I used hot water and dish soap to spray them. It seemed to kill them. Is that what it does? Does hot water and soap kill them?
You can use hot or cold water. What's killing them is the soap. The soap forms a film over their spiracles, which are their breathing tubes on the side of their thorax, and they suffocate. So that does work, yes.
Okay. One more I'll work in before our next break. I've got a texter asking about ladybugs. Texter saying, I'm actually not sure if they're an actual ladybug because they're kind of an orangey red, but they're in my house in spring. They pop up everywhere. Yep. Thoughts on that? Are they harmless?
They are absolutely harmless, and they are very beneficial because they feed on aphids. What they've done is in the fall, they've worked their way underneath your siding and into your walls and attic, and they hibernate. They overwinter there, and then in the spring, because it's still too cold outside, but they're awake because the sun is beating on your house, they go, oh, well, we'll come inside and wander around there. Completely harmless, very beneficial. Okay. My kids grab them on their fingers and take them and let them go outside.
I was going to say, I've got a grandson who's fascinated with ladybugs. Okay, break number two. Sean Sherwood is here until 11 o'clock. He's a Poulin's Exterminator, 40 years in the industry, and pretty much answer any question you throw at him. We got lots coming in on the text and the phone line. More of your questions and Sean's answers when we come back. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Bugs. If I had them all in jugs, I'd dig till a big hole was dug. And that would be the end of the bug song.
Sean Sherwood is my guest. A Poulin's Exterminator, 40 years plus experience in the field, and here for you today for one full hour. We've got Sean on till 12 o'clock. Phone and text lines open at 1-877-332-8255. Sean, I just showed you the picture that Cam from Turtle Lake sent in, wanting to know, first of all, what is this? And then, is it harmful? How do I get rid of it?
So the picture is a black weevil. They don't fly, they walk. They do nothing except feed on vegetation. They would have overwintered in the mulch in the trees, cracks under like bark on trees, things like that. They come in the thousands, and they just walk like an army. They'll climb right over top of your house. They'll walk on your ceiling. but they're absolutely harmless. And unlike the box elder beetle, if you squish them, they don't leave a stain. But spraying four of them outside around the windows and doors with a good residual chemical, you can powder around the foundation in close to where the dirt always cracks away from your foundation. You will kill them, but not before they walk into your house, because the poisons take 20 minutes, half an hour.
Right.
So
that brings up a good point. Is there something like something that you can buy on the market that, whether you spray around your house, you sprinkle on your foundation, that's good for multiple pests, at least preventing them from coming into your house?
Absolutely. The permethrin is a synthetic pyrethroid. It gives you about 21 to 28 days of residual if you use it indoors. Once it's dried into place, it's quite safe. The Achilles heel of chemicals for insecticidal chemicals is the ultraviolet light that comes from the sun. So if you spray it outside around your windows and doors, around your eaves, foundation, if that's a sunny part of the house, you're going to get 3 or 4 days of control and that's it. And they don't kill instantly. They take time. So if you're looking to spray it and have it die as you're watching, you're going to be disappointed.
Gotcha. Okay. There's a lot of text coming in about wasps and bees and hornets. Can I lump those together, or different strategies for these pests?
Slightly different strategies. If it's wasps or hornets, you can purchase one of the aerosols, the long-range blasters, if it's a gray nest that you can see. If they're going into a crack or a crevice, then you need to pump a powder in there, and you can purchase one of those at our store or wherever you can find them. You need to be a little bit brave when you're doing both of them. We usually recommend for the powder ones that you do them at dusk or at night, but don't use a flashlight. Give that to somebody that you really don't like.
That's good advice.
When it comes to bees, we don't kill bees. That's a corporate rule that we have, except in the most dire of circumstances. We have a beekeeper who we contact, and he comes out and he removes the bee colony for you.
He just basically transplants them somewhere else?
Absolutely. Yeah. He'll put them, if they're good bees, he'll put them in with his hives, because it strengthens the hives. If it's leaf cutter bees, then he'll just move them to an area where they're not going to cause a problem.
What about these, you can buy these hanging wasp nest replicas. Do those things work?
They work really well in March and early April. You put them up in an area where you think or where you don't want a wasp nest, and the juvenile queens, which overwintered somewhere in your yard, come out, and they're flying around looking for a place to either build an underground nest or build a hanging nest, and they see a big nest already established there. They're going somewhere else because they know they'll just be a victim. That's already too big to take on.
The other kind of what I like to call the distraction points, I've seen people do that. They've got, you know, something with a sweet nectar in it somewhere in their yard to try and attract the wasps over there. Even a piece of meat, I've been told, will work.
It depends on what season it is. In the spring, they like sugar, so you want to use like orange pop or grape pop or something like that to harvest them over there. In the fall, they like protein, so that's when everybody gets really unhappy because they're trying to steal the steak off your barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to get into ants, because we are getting a ton of people saying that they're seeing anthills sizes that they've never seen before popping up in the middle of the lawn. I've had a couple of people, and this has happened to us as well. We showed up at the cabin in the spring after the winter, and all of a sudden, boom, there's 5 big anthills. How do you deal with ants in a way that they're not going to just rebuild?
Well, you've got to get into the core of the ant colony. Unfortunately, in Canada, a lot of the ant traps that you will buy in the big box stores have been in storage for a year over the winter, and they become very, very stale. The ants aren't likely to go after them. You need something fresh, and you need to be patient if you're going to go down that road. When it comes to the big ant mounds, if it's something you want to do yourself, we're going to recommend that you come in and pick up some insecticidal powder, powder the top of the ant nest, then take your rake and gently rake it down, really mix it up really well and really disturb that nest, and then repowder it. And they're all going to get covered with powder, and they're going to be trying to run the eggs down deeper into the colony. They're going to help you spread the powder all over the place.
All right. What about gas? Does burning them work?
Yeah, you'll kill a few of them on the surface, but unless you've got napalm and you can inject it 15 feet into the ground, you're just going to have a little bit of fun for a few minutes, but you're going to accomplish nothing.
I mean, that's the thing. These ants go deep, don't they, Sean?
Yeah, they do. And that's why when you disturb the nest enough and you keep applying, don't over apply the powder, just gently apply it. And they'll carry it deeper and deeper into the nest, but you may take two or three seasons to completely eliminate the problem.
So there's actually a couple. I'm going to pull you back just for a second to bees. I'm actually surprised there's a couple of texters on the line that are talking about bumblebees getting into their basement. So Dawn, for example, from Saskatoon, said she found some large, slow-moving bumblebees on the floor. They seem to be coming through the wall from the outside near the water taps, but she can't find a nest and trying to mitigate the problem before it gets bigger.
So the nest is undoubtedly up inside your wall. They like building into the insulation that keeps your house nice and warm. They probably got in there last year. They would have somewhat hibernated over the winter. It's kind of in that situation, it would be warm enough that they would be a little bit active. But what happens is when the sun starts to hit the house and it warms up the interior of your wall, they wake up because they can't stay asleep anymore. They try to go out, but it's way too cold outside for them to be outside. So then they wander around looking for food and they end up in your house. If they're really, really slow, that tells me they've come from a distance. They're exhausted. You can vacuum them up is probably the safest way to do it. But I would pretty much guarantee that there's a small nest building inside your wall.
I have a text here. My husband was listening to your show and heard you say, don't squish a bug on the wall. The paint won't cover it and you'll have to sand it out. Wondering what kind of bug it was. That was a maple bug we were talking about.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. Sean Sherwood, Poulin's Exterminator, is my guest. We have got lots of texts coming in. A few texts about spiders. I think we've all found a spider or two in our home from time to time. Is there any trick to keeping them out or keeping them away from our houses?
As soon as you start to see them show up, you want to use a residual insecticide spray around the window frames, around the doors, around the drain spouts where they come out, and up around your eaves. And that will pretty much solve the problem until the fall.
All right. 1-877-332-8255. We chatted actually right off the start a bit about bats, but I want to take this call from Greg in Saskatoon, who has a bat-related question. Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I never heard the first part of the show, but we've got some bats that have migrated into our soffits in our house, kind of actually right above our bedroom. So they make some noise in the middle of the night, and I haven't seen where they're coming and going from. Got a fairly high-pitched roof that I'm not too keen on getting up on. Is there anything? I've read a little bit about maybe vinegar and some oils like peppermint oil and that sort of thing that might deter them from returning. Is there anything like that? I know that outside of a couple of months of the year, you're not supposed to be disturbing them and they aren't to be killed. What can we do about these?
Well, as it stands right now, you're going to have to wait until September. Once you get into August, I would recommend that you do some homework. I would sit out there at dusk because the bats are going to come out from the entrance and exit that they're using. They're going to go out to feed at dusk. And if you sit there in a lawn chair, watching up in the areas where you suspect they might be coming out, you'll find it. Once you've identified that opening, then in the fall, once we get to September, you need to install a one-way door over it. And there are several different varieties that you can custom make where they can exit through that door, but they can't get back in. Bats have to land on something that they can grip and then climb up into the opening. And when a bat comes out of an opening, they have to be able to drop out and soar. They can't launch themselves like a bird because their legs are like 3/4 of an inch long and have no strength.
So what can you do then? So keep going there, Sean, sorry.
Yeah. Right now, you can't do anything. It's against the law to do anything right now. I've had no success with the different oils and the different potions that people have attempted to use to keep them out of an area. None of that has ever worked for us, and we've tried several of them hoping for a better way. They're in there. They're raising their young now. September and one-way doors really is the only solution I got.
Sean Sherwood, Poulin's Exterminator. We will take our last break. We'll come back. I'm going to try and get, we've got a couple more calls on the line. I want to be able to cover snakes. I want to be able to cover cockroaches and more of your questions when we come back for our last segment. Ask the Exterminator. That's what we're calling it with Sean Sherwood here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on some of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me.
All well, right. We are back with the last segment. Sean Sherwood is my guest. He's been here for the hour. Poulin's Exterminator, answering your questions about how to get rid of pests. There's a number of people on the text line, Sean, that are asking about snakes. Some are saying they're coming from underneath the deck. Some are saying underneath a slab of concrete. Well, how do you deal with snakes?
We don't have anything that we can use to deal with snakes except for manual removal, and we don't highly recommend that. They are quite harmless to people. They're actually very beneficial. They'll come out of their den in the spring where they've spent the entire winter, and they will travel hundreds of miles over the summer and always come back to the same place. So if they're underneath the deck or underneath a concrete slab, it's probably an area where they're just spending the night or the hot daytime hours, or the nighttime hours, depending on which version you've got. Mostly they're garter snakes, but there are no toxins to eliminate them. You could fill in the hole. They'll just burrow it back out on you. Enjoy them, I guess.
I got a friend that would argue with you on that. Definitely afraid. I wanted to work cockroaches into this conversation. I've seen a couple of texts. One saying they think they found a cockroach. How can they confirm its identity? Do you see much with cockroaches in the province?
Cockroaches are our number one pest. We see probably 4 or 5 jobs that we do a day with them. They are the current epidemic. The German cockroach has lived in Saskatchewan as long as I've been doing pest control, and much longer than that. They're the most successful life form on the face of the earth. You are likely not going to be successful trying to treat them by yourself. They require specialized equipment to get the chemicals where they want to live and hide. Call a professional, really, is my best recommendation there.
Okay, I'm going to try and grab a couple of quick callers, and we'll have to keep it quick because we're up against the time. Marcel and Prince Albert, you want to take us back to ants. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask you, malathion. Apparently, it works on ants, but does it go down to the queen, or do they just move?
Malathion is a contact kill, so they have to crawl through it and get it on them to kill them. Some of them will transmit it as they rub up against others in the nest. You really need to, if you're going to spray with malathion, really rake up that nest as you do it and get more and more of them carrying it around, but they're not going to carry it to the queen.
All right, let's go to another call. I've got Ian in Saskatoon. Spiders, go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, so I think, Sean, you said like the spiders come up to drain. Can they swim?
No, they don't come up the drain. They come. I kind of got my words mixed up there. The eaves trough, the spouts that come down, they like to be in that area because they can build a big web there and the bugs and flies will get caught in the web. So we always treat those areas and up underneath the eaves. They love that.
So the downspouts is what you're...
Yeah, quick, the downspouts.
Quick question. When I've never really worried about daddy long legs.
Yep.
But any spider that gets in the house that has, you know, kind of a... I don't know how to say, furry body? Are they more to worry about?
None of the spiders in Saskatchewan are really anything to worry about because they're not capable of biting people. They're just a nuisance that grosses people out, and they feed exclusively on insects. But none of them are toxic. They're all toxic in one form or another, but not to the degree that they would cause people problems.
Got a text here. We live on a farm. We have so many ticks outside the house and in our entire yard. We can't go outside without getting ticks on our family. You can get medicine for dogs. Is there something for humans too?
No, not that people are very resistant to. The medicine for dogs is actually an insecticide, and it does get into their bloodstream and get on them, and it does kill off the ticks. But people are much more fragile than dogs, so I don't recommend it.
Yeah, so ticks, pretty tough.
Yep.
Not an easy one for an exterminator to come, especially in a rural setting to deal with. Well, listen, we've done a pretty good job. We have I don't even know if we've taken a dent out of the number of texts that have come in today. But Sean, this has been outstanding. My goal is let's get you back in the fall. So I think had a good introduction into summer. This could be a seasonal talk given the number of texts that we're getting. Would you be good for that?
Anytime you want me in, Evan, I'm here.
Good stuff. This has been a great chat. Sean, thank you so much. Sean Sherwood, Poulin's Exterminator. And thank you to all of the questions that came in. We did as good a job as we could trying to get to each and every one of those. Well, I'm looking forward to our last conversation of the day. I've got a guest coming in talking about artificial intelligence, but a pretty incredible new program that is out when it comes to making videos, making movies. This is a good thing. This can also, of course, like anything with artificial intelligence, could be bad as well. We're going to chat with Chad Jones, the CEO of Push Interactions, a former Apple engineer. He'll be joining me in studio next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.